Welcome to the Buckmaster Show. It is Friday, August the 12th, 2011. I am Bill Buckmaster, and we thank you very much for choosing our program. We are live Monday through Friday at noon on KVOI AM 1030, Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station, and our voice network, our simulcast partners in Douglas and Globe. And of course, we're always on the World Wide Web at buckmastershow.com, where we have the show's archive for 24/7 listening. Also, thanks to a new partnership, you can hear our programs anytime at TucsonSentinel.com. Fridays on the Buckmaster Show, we begin with our Friday focus, beginning with a newsmaker interview. At the bottom of the hour, it's the Friday Reporters Roundtable. Then we close out the show with What's Going On the Weekend Watch with Matt Russell. Today's Friday focus newsmaker is United States Representative Raul Grijalva, a Democrat from Arizona's 7th District. Joining me in our conversation with Congressman Grijalva is Sarah Garrett Gasson of the Arizona Daily Star. And we invite you to join in the conversation on the Buckmaster Show live line 790-2040 or toll free from anywhere in North America 1-866-725-5467. You can also submit questions at buckmastershow.com or on the Buckmaster Show page on Facebook. And our Friday focus is presented by Splendido at Rancho Vistosa in Oro Valley. Splendido is a true continuing care retirement community. Find out more about them at SplendidoAZ.net. Congressman Grijalva, good to see you.
Good to see you, Bill.
I want to start with a Facebook question. This came in from John. We'll get right into this one, Congressman. And he says, with the private sector sitting on the cash, their cash, due to the lack of demand, and the federal government unwilling to do any more stimulus to help create demand due to Republican opposition, Congressman, how do we get the economy growing?
Well, I think it's two levels. I think there's an accounting that needs to happen based on the first wave of stimulus money that went to the financial services institutions and to the lending institutions in this country. And you're correct in saying there's about $2 trillion that have not left their hands in that process. And you know they've been stabilized. They made a profit, and that's good, because it stabilized a market that needed to be stabilized. But now now we find ourselves starting to spiral downward again. And in the past, the criticism that many people had, and that included myself, was that the recovery money had a component of it that was very much trickle down. If we give X amount of money, things will happen and jobs will be created. Well, the truth of the matter is, to the degree that people expected that to happen, it didn't happen. And so I now really believe that when we go back, and if all of us have been paying attention to the constituents that we represent in all the districts across this country, we have to deal with the issue of growth in terms of the economy, and we have to deal with the issue of jobs, which is tied directly to that first point. I think the federal government has to intervene more robustly in job creation. An infrastructure plan that would, for every billion we spend in fixing our antiquated roads, sewer systems, renovating our schools, our hospitals, etc., produces 40,000 jobs, plus $300 million in supplies and materials that is the corollary to that expenditure. It's good for business, and so that's one area, direct public works intervention. And the other one is to incentivize small businesses. Pieces of legislation that we're working on that would incentivize people that hire locally, put people to work in firms of 50 or under. They would be incentivized with tax credits and opportunities to deduct some of the initial expense for employment. We have to have bold strategies. You know, everybody talked about the grand bargain when we were first going through this deficit reduction. We're to the point that we need a grand, bold initiative around jobs. And this is all coupled, Bill, with the fact that the commission is going to be working on a debt ceiling deficit reduction. And we're going to be in Congress talking about jobs and growth. And we have to reconcile those two, I think, very different strategies on how to get us out of the hole.
790-2040 for the Buckmaster Show live line. Here's Sarah Garrett Gasson from the Arizona Daily Star.
So much of the talk around the whole debt ceiling situation or fiasco or controversy, whatever word you want to use, focused on the Tea Party Republicans and the right wing and the obstinate views that a lot of the freshmen had. And so in the process of that, a lot of the people to the left, the progressives, I know you're, obviously very involved with that, that I've talked to felt that their points of view were being left out of the discussion altogether, that they were not even really being considered, and that it would be just sort of a given that come to shove, they would go along with whatever, and that the ones that needed to be listened to were on the conservative end of things. Is that how you saw what happened?
I think if you look at the end product, that perception is accurate. When we ended up with the final deal to keep us from going over the brink in terms of losing all credit rating, it was pretty obvious if you look at the package that we dealt almost entirely on the spending side and cuts, leaving on the table issues like Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid for this commission to try to grapple with. And then part of the obstinance, and that's a good word, was there will be no revenue generation, period. I'm not even talking about new taxes. We're talking about withdrawing subsidies from, let's use big oil as an example, $40 billion. They made one of the hugest quarterly increases in profits this last time around. Let's talk about rolling back to that 2%, the Bush tax cuts, rolling back to its initial point that was already agreed to under the Clinton administration estate taxes, which is the portion that Kyle got changed in the early part of the budget. Those kinds of revenue generators are essential because I really believe that you can't cut your way out of the situation that we're in. That's a dichotomy. You have to invest at the same time. You have to create jobs, and you have to begin to have a pragmatic plan to deal with the deficit. You can do both, but if you only rely on spending, I think it's going to aggravate the economic situation that we're in right now. Less jobs, more layoffs, and it's just going to intensify where we're at right now. So, yeah, it was a – I hope – I'm well, we could talk about the commission when you have a question.
Well, I wanted to follow that up with so many people were so angry, just at a very personal level. Like, I mean, we don't get to just dig in our heels in our regular lives and say, I'm not going to do that. We have to make compromises and we have to deal with reality. Did the members that you spoke with, did that sentiment come across at all? Did that anger and that sort of frustration of just what kind of bubble are you living in come through?
The frustration was palatable because we knew there had to be some middle ground issues that had to be compromised. But when you saw the end product, then you realized that it was not a negotiation, that basically my colleagues on the other side of the aisle, particularly the 67, 80 plus Tea Party affiliated with that, got their way. And one description was, this is not a time to hold your breath until you get what you want. But now we're going to this other part with the commission, which begs for a middle ground. I hope I'm wrong in this, but I think we're setting it up for a stalemate given how the membership of that committee is done and how my six Republican colleagues have all signed the Norwitz Pledge that says no more taxes.
Do you think we're just setting ourselves up for a redo?
I don't think it's a redo because the legislation is one of the reasons that I had opposition to it, had an automatic trigger. That automatic trigger is that the commission can't come to a conclusion, cross the board cuts. And if Congress can't approve a package, cross the board cuts.
Congressman Grijalva is with us on the Buckmaster Show, 12:14 on the Buckmaster Show. If you'd like to chime in, 790-2040, 790-2040 with Congressman Grijalva. Were there any winners in the debt ceiling debate? And if there were winners, some were saying it might be the Tea Party people.
In all frankness, I think the people that the element in Congress that came out basically getting what they want. And I found it ironic, that at the end of the day, some 40 plus of the Tea Party members of the caucus of the Republican Party still voted no against the deal. Didn't go far enough. Wasn't deep enough. If there's a winner, I don't think Obama won. I don't think the Democrats in the Senate won. And I think that the influence of those 80 members drove the train.
And where did the American people come in all of that?
Well, I think I hope that there's some that the American people, and that's even if we're just crass about this, and as elected officials follow the polls said exactly what the American people wanted: protection for certain things, debt reduction in a pragmatic, balanced way, and revenue generation. I think that will is going to have to be heard, but we've been calling on Obama to do something about generating aspiration and motivation among the American people, and essentially ignore Congress till we hear that loud voice from out in the public.
It's 12:15 on the Buckmaster Show. It's Friday Focus with Congressman Raul Grijalva, Sarah Garrett Gaston, the Arizona Daily Star. Charles will be up next right after we take a break. Charles, we'll get to your call with the congressman, but first, let's hear from the fine Buckmaster Show sponsors. We'll be back.
Vero Amore presents Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza using fresh, homemade mozzarella and the finest quality toppings. Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero Amore. Casual yet upscale dining with an extensive boutique wine list. Vero Amore in Tucson on North Swan at Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at veroamorepizza.com. And now in Oro Valley, Noble Hops, the Tucson area's first gastro pub.
The Arizona Inn is the only Tucson hotel named by Travel and Leisure magazine as one of the top 500 hotels in the world for 2011. Located in Midtown, close to the University of Arizona, the Arizona Inn is located at 2200 East Elm Street and on the web at arizonainn.com. The Arizona Inn maintains AAA four diamond status for both the hotel and dining room, with Chef Allison serving up breakfast, lunch, and dinner daily, with a featured menu and seasonal favorites. And because the Arizona Inn is listed on the National Register of Historic Places, founded by Arizona's first Congresswoman, Isabella Greenway, the Arizona Inn provides an historic backdrop for your next special event. Arizona Inn is the perfect setting for weddings, anniversary celebrations, or your next business meeting, and you can make your reservations online at arizonainn.com. The Arizona Inn, luxury and elegance in the heart of Tucson.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is one of Southern Arizona's crown jewels. You will find that the services and amenities offered at Splendido rival those of a fine resort. But what sets Splendido apart is a continuum of health care that allows for a full life today, knowing tomorrow is secure. As a true continuing care retirement community, Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoAZ.net.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
There are times when you save, and there are times when you
save big.
Whoa. Take vehicle loans, for instance. Any time of the year, Pyramid Federal Credit Union can help you save with lower rates. But now, for a limited time, we're helping you
save big.
That means rates as low as 4.5% APR when you buy or refinance a vehicle loan. Plus terms up to 60 months, whether it's new or used. You won't just save, you'll
save big.
That never gets old. Stop by any Pyramid Federal Credit Union or visit us at pyramidfcu.com to learn more. That's 4.5% APR vehicle loans for a limited time. Plus, save another 0.25% with payment options.
That's huge.
Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life. Learn more at pyramidfcu.com. 4.5% APR on vehicle loans for a limited time. Restrictions may apply. Membership eligibility required. NCUA insured.
Let Karimi Oriental Rugs keep your valuable area rugs looking like new with Tucson's finest cleaning, repair, and restoration services. Karimi specializes in restoring antique, silk, and Navajo rugs with 100% satisfaction guarantee. Karimi Oriental Rugs appraises and purchases quality rugs and offers a vast selection of hand-woven rugs from around the world. Be sure to stop by Karimi Oriental Rugs at Fort Lowland Dodge or on the web at KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
It's 12:20 on the Buckmaster Show. It's Friday Focus. Today's newsmaker is Congressman Raul Grijalva. Sarah Garrett Gasson is with me from the Arizona Daily Star. And I think we're going to go to Charles. Charles is up now on the Buckmaster Show live line with a question for the congressman. Go ahead, Charles.
Thank you. Congressman Grijalva, thank you for coming on this program. You know, government in the United States is supposedly of, by, and for the people. And seeing as how government only gets its money from the people that it governs, in a time of recession and economy, isn't it both a moral and a legal duty of the government, when it takes in less money, to cut its spending and not raise the amount of money that it takes from people that are being damaged by a recession?
Yeah, but to your morality point, I think that government has the full obligation and the moral responsibility to nurture and take care of its people. We're a democracy, and it's a shared kind of governance, and it's a shared kind of responsibility. And in there's two kinds of economic strategies to look at this. You can say in the times of a recession, which Hoover did, let's do more tax cuts. Let's do those kinds of incentives and see where it takes us. Or you can do what FDR said. Let's invest deeply, get our country back on its feet, and then with that new prosperity, once we strengthen ourselves economically, then all of us are better off. And the point being about the deficit, there's no disagreement. All I am saying is that there are revenue out there that does not hurt the normal taxpayer. We're not talking about the small businessman. We're not talking about that middle class family that's working. We're not talking about burdening them anymore with taxes. We're talking about having people have a shared sacrifice in this. And the upper 2% and corporate America need to kick in their fair share. We need to close some of the loopholes. And that revenue generation alone, rolling back the Bush tax cuts on the upper 2%, we wouldn't be talking about this deficit question right now.
Charles, thanks for the question. Here's Sarah Garrett Gasson of the Star.
I wanted to ask, you hear politicians all the time talk, and I think I used the phrase in our previous segment, the American people want this, the American people want that. They don't want this, they don't want that. I'm speaking for the American people. When you're in the chamber and you're among your colleagues, is everyone talking about the same group of people? Because I don't get the idea that we're all talking about the same American people.
And whose American people is correct
becomes
the issue.
Right. And
it's a great question. And we, yeah, maybe that the gentleman's call about the responsibility. I think speaking for the American people for an elected official is comes part and parcel with the wallet that you get when you get elected. It's one of the cards they put in there. But it is something that has to be used very judiciously, and it's something you have to be really careful with. Because if you look at even the Tea Party alone, the poll they did among Tea Party members, 40% felt there had to be revenue generation as part of anything we did. If you look at any population, Republicans, the majority of Republicans felt there had to be revenue generation. So when we lightly throw around the American people want, we need to, that's what I said, if we want to be just a political elected official, then at least read the tea leaves. And the tea leaves for politicians are the polls. And the polls tell us a whole different story than the decisions that are being made in Congress right now.
790-2040, 790-2040 with Congressman Raul Grijalva. Congressman, do you think there is going to be, and this kind of follows up on Sarah brought up the word compromise. We had Senator McCain having a town hall meeting, a couple of them, I think, that got, there were some, the passions were running quite high, and many were saying, why don't you compromise? Why don't you compromise? Do you think that other members across the country, after they've gone home, are going to find that?
I heard it too. You know, I voted against the debt deal, and I received questions about why don't you compromise. You explain your position, and hope that people understand. But the urgency to reach a middle ground is what the American people are asking for right now. If you are listening to them, they're saying find a solution. And to me, the solution is a middle ground compromise. I'm not going to get everything I want, and the Tea Parties are not going to get everything they want. But it's a valve to release some of the pressure that we're under right now. I think that's what's being asked of us. I hope they're listening. And I hope the attitude is, when we get back, that we have to deal with the jobs and the growth issue and do it seriously. And we'll be able to tell within 5 days after we're there if the posturing and the same dance is going to go on, or if we've come back from this break, work period, whatever we call it, vacation for some, we come back with a real serious tone.
I wanted to ask what it was like in the chamber when Gabby Giffords came in. Just what was that like?
That was probably the 5 minutes in which the slings and arrows of the debate that was going on was suspended. not too many dry eyes. An uplifting moment, whether you were, regardless of where you were on the issue we were dealing with, which was the debt ceiling. Very emotional. Very uplifting.
Did you know that she was coming?
Just at the last second, when we were asked to sit at a certain place because she would be sitting there with her staff, and then we were asked to sit in this area, me and Ed Pastor, colleagues from Arizona. Up to that point, I didn't know, and I was wise, because it was everybody wanted to touch her and thank her, and it was pretty special. I mean, to see her vote and to see her acknowledge and know who we were. Not too many, can't say it too many different ways, but it was pretty. I even hugged Ted Poe, which is something I think is beyond. Anyways.
12:27 on the Buckmaster Show. Just a couple of more minutes here with Congressman Grijalva to wrap it up. So the first order of business when you get back, when is that going to be? After Labor Day?
Yeah, we could be called back.
Yeah.
And I hope we are. The sooner we get started on this, the you know, what's hurting the economy is consumer confidence in general in the economy, and voter lack of voter confidence in our ability to get a job done. Those two psychological factors are weighing heavy on this country. And so the sooner we get back at it, the better off we're going to be.
Any other issue that will dominate?
Well, later this week, I think for a regional issue, we're going to roll out and initiate what we call a border jobs and infrastructure plan that is for Arizona specific. Try to revitalize the economy in those areas, and also provide a level of enhanced security. And we're going to do that probably sometime this week. And that's an initiative of ours that we feel it's about. We've done everything else on the border. Now let's go in there and fix some of the needs that they have economically.
Yes or no question, or very close to it, from Sarah.
Are you running for re-election?
Yeah. Yeah. We're going through the redistricting process. I told somebody that this is a defining moment in how this country's going to end up. And as any self-respecting person that loves what we're doing and loves our democracy, I don't want to miss that opportunity to have a role in that.
Okay, we'll take that as your formal announcement today on the Buckmaster Show. Congressman Raul Grijalva seeking another two-year term in Congress. And that's going to do it today for Congressman Grijalva being on the Friday Focus. Thank you very much. Have a great weekend.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot. Sarah, we'll be back along with Dylan Smith joining us from TucsonSentinel.com as we have our Friday Reporters Roundtable talking about the top stories of the week. Stay with us, the Buckmaster Show on AM 1030, KVOI, The Voice.
I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. One investment strategist says a drop in consumer sentiment would normally send the stock market into a tailspin, but Quincy Crosby adds these are not normal times. Wall Street's key averages are higher heading into the final half hour of today's trading. A federal appeals court is rejecting the provision of the federal health care law that requires people to buy health insurance. Her lawyers have said Casey Anthony's life could be put in danger if she has to return to Orlando, but a judge is ordering her to do so within 2 weeks to serve a year's probation for check fraud. More than a dozen trade unions are planning to sit out the 2012 Democratic Convention. They're upset it's being held in a right-to-work state, North Carolina. On Wall Street, the Dow is up 109 points. More details at srnnews.com.
Listed on the National Register of Historic Places and founded by Isabella Greenway, Arizona's first congresswoman, the Arizona Inn is still the standard bearer for luxury hospitality in Midtown Tucson, just minutes from the University of Arizona. Founded in 1930, the Arizona Inn continues to win top honors for hospitality and dining. Travel and Leisure magazine names the Arizona Inn one of the top 500 hotels in the world for 2011. And the Arizona Inn is proud of its AAA four diamond status for both the hotel and dining room. Whether it's for breakfast, lunch, or dinner, or a private event, you can count on Chef Allison's featured seasonal culinary creations to please. The Arizona Inn, a special oasis of hospitality in Midtown Tucson, 2200 East Elm, and on the web at arizonainn.com.
For 5 years, the RTA has been delivering our promise to you, finishing over 400 projects, including five major roadways, with 30 projects underway, including River Road to Ruthroth along La Cholla and the Star Pass Mission Road intersection. Please use caution in the area and obey all traffic signs. The RTA has also implemented transit services like Sun Express and Sun Shuttle. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
A simple solution to foot and lower back problems could be a top-quality, custom-made foot orthotic created by Bob Novak. A certified pet orthist, Bob is the best in Southern Arizona in the creation of the right foot support that your body needs and at a price you can afford. Please give Bob Novak a call, 795-2553, or visit him at Arizona Lemon Brace, Rosemont and Fifth Street. Your feet will thank you every day. From antique to contemporary, Persia to Pakistan, Tibet to Turkey, Karimi Oriental Rugs brings the world to Tucson at the corner of East Fort Lowell and Dodge. Owner-operator Amir Karimi personally selects the world's finest exquisite hand-woven rugs. Sale, purchase, wash, repair, restore and appraise. East Fort Lowell and Dodge for Karimi Oriental Rugs and KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show on KVOI AM 1030 in the Voice Network.
over Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station every Friday. About this time, we present our Friday Reporters Roundtable featuring local journalists who get to weigh in, sound off on the week's top stories. Joining me this week on the Friday Roundtable, Sarah Garrett Gaston of the Arizona Daily Star. Dylan Smith joins us from TucsonSentinel.com, and we welcome you to join in the conversation on the Buckmaster Show live line, if you wish, at 790-2040. The Friday Reporters Roundtable is presented by Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley, a true continuing care retirement community. Find out more at SplendidoAZ.net, and we welcome Splendido to the family of the Buckmaster Show sponsors, and we welcome now Dylan, and Sarah stays over from our interview with the Congressman. Dylan, how are you doing?
Quite well. Thanks for having me back.
Saw your picture on the front page of Sarah's paper, The Star.
You were. if it were my paper.
Yeah. Oh, yes, right. Dylan was attending with a lot of other people. Senator John McCain's rather rare, I think you could say, Dylan, town hall meetings. That he had a couple of them here, and they got pretty heated. And who was choosing the venue is my question.
It was a kind of small venue. It's St. Mark's Church. It seats maybe 150. I think they had about 125 seats set up, and then, you know, some space for TV cameras in the back. And there were maybe 40 or 50 people who wanted to get in who weren't allowed in. And, you know, they're certainly, if they had a larger venue, I think even more people might have shown up.
I mean, it's hard for me to believe that they didn't think, Sarah, there would be a big crowd for something like this. It's not like there hasn't been a lot of publicity over the debt ceiling. Come on.
Right. And it's not like a nightclub opening or a restaurant or something where you want the line outside because it makes people think that you're really popular and it's a hot place to get in. Nothing makes people more angry than putting together a town hall or a public event with an elected official and you can't get in to see the person. Maybe it's something as simple as they just didn't realize how immensely popular Senator McCain might be in this neck of the woods, given his somewhat classic Hobbit remarks on the floor of the Senate, which I guess have to say were pretty amusing. But the other thing is maybe he didn't really want to deal with a large crowd. I mean, the larger the crowd, the more raucous it gets, the more out of control it can be. And if you're putting it together and you want to be in control, you limit the size of the venue.
And it got heated because folks are upset, obviously, Dylan Smith, with the crisis going on, the fiscal crisis in this country. And we were speaking, you caught some of the interview, I think, with Congressman Grijalva. I was asking him about, you know, compromise. Are we going to have some compromise? And I think people were asking this, weren't they, Dylan, at
well,
the town
there,
hall?
McCain was really catching it from both sides of the political spectrum. He's got a lot of the people in the Tea Party are not very pleased with him at the moment. Certainly, you know, your liberals and progressives are not very pleased with him ever, most of the time. There were a few people in the crowd, you know, speaking about civility, and McCain himself spoke a little bit about civility and compromise. You know, he was one of the people sort of in the middle of this issue. You know, we didn't trend to the hardline Tea Party edge on the debt ceiling. And it really, to move ahead, don't we need to figure out a way to move and, you know, not be out on either edge?
I sure wish we could compromise.
And it's the kind of thing that, whether you agree with his politics or not, Senator McCain has been in the Senate for a really long time.
Yeah.
And has a wealth of experience that people should listen to, along with a lot of the other senior members in the Senate. And part of the dynamic that we're facing now is all these freshmen have come in with no experience in the institution, and some with not a lot of experience in politics at all.
And some of them don't care about reelection, some of the freshmen.
Right, which in a way is kind of refreshing, but in a way is really destructive. So the one of the disturbing things is you watch the debt ceiling debate, and I'm sure going forward with the other debates to come, is that you don't have the experience and perspective of the people who've been through this sort of thing being listened to or given any credence whatsoever. So it's not like people with experience like Senator McCain, who have something to offer and to share information, are being listened to and their ideas or their perspectives are being disregarded or accepted. It's just we don't agree with that, we don't like it, we're not going to listen to it. And so that, I think, is kind of a dangerous dynamic when you don't have the people who actually do have the information and the experience given any credence at all. They're just shouted down.
And this isn't an issue that's going to go away anytime soon. Just the debt ceiling itself and the budget specifically. Really, this agreement was kicking it down the road. They kicked the can. They didn't agree on anything except for to make some decisions later. So we're going to continue to be talking about this and having to deal with this issue for, you know, a long time to come.
And it became so obvious with the way Wall Street reacted, Dylan, to the deal, that Wall Street said, "What deal?"
Yeah.
I mean, the markets just plunged. That was a pretty bleak Monday.
I think the immediate effect, the immediate drop in the market was due to a whole lot of people who were probably prepared to move into bonds and who hadn't been moving into bonds for a couple weeks just because of uncertainty as to what was going to happen. You know, a year ago, we heard a whole lot about how if we didn't extend the Bush tax cuts, that it was creating uncertainty in the market, and that's such a bad thing. And here we just went through 3 months of just about the most extreme uncertainty one could have about an economy.
Yeah.
That, you know, is the United States government going to pay its bills or not is kind of a big deal to pretty much everybody in the world. That's, you know,
if you've got
everybody.
Any money at all, it's a big deal.
So now, you know, after that initial plunge, we're still seeing yo-yos up and down 400 points either way, and hopefully that'll start to even out over the next couple of weeks.
Sarah, you brought up with Congressman Grijalva the emotional reaction, and he was clearly, as we sat with him here in the studio, even talking about Gabrielle Giffords' return to the floor of the House of Representatives. There was some news regarding the Congresswoman's office, C.J. Karamarjan, really the highly respected spokesperson for Congresswoman Gabrielle Giffords, announced this week that he is leaving the Congresswoman's office later, actually I think it's later this month, for a vice chancellor position at Pima Community College. And that raises lots of questions, people wondering if it had anything to do with the Congresswoman's future, Dylan.
Well, when the news first came out that he had interviewed with Pima 2 or 3 weeks ago, you know, it really raised a lot of questions. You know, is CJ bailing out? Is, you know, what's going on? That was before Giffords went to D.C. and voted. And, you know, that was certainly a very dramatic moment and certainly speaks well for her recovery. I mean, she's obviously coming along fairly well. And when I talked to CJ after they put the word out that he'd taken the job, he said that it really has nothing to do with her political future. And he seems, you know, he wouldn't commit to it because they're not committing to a race yet. But he seemed pretty confident that, you know, if she wants to, she'll run again.
Sarah Garrett Gasson of the Star. I think it's a good move for CJ. Like I say, he's highly respected. I think he did the Congresswoman and that whole office a lot of kudos to them in the wake of the horrible January 8th shooting. And I think it's a good move for CJ, and I think it will really help Pima as well.
I think that, of course, people are saying, well, why are they having this position? Why do you need to pay someone so much money to do government relations and PR and blah, 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 blah? All of that aside, I've known CJ for a long time. He worked at the Star for many years. So I've known him as a colleague, and then also when he was a press secretary, when he was with Giffords. I think he will do a very fine job for Pima. And I also think that I wondered, you know, like, do they have some sort of cloning device over at Giffords' office? Because he was everywhere in the wake of that.
And he really was.
And I was just amazed at the entire office in the wake of January 8th. I mean, they lost colleagues. This horrible trauma happened. And I don't even know how they did it. They just put everything aside and just kept doing their jobs and doing their jobs and doing their jobs. And I just give them all sorts of kudos for that.
That ability for pretty much everybody in that office to almost immediately start up working again and stay calm and cool and collected and try and get out good info to everybody. Yeah. It's just astounding.
Have you heard if Mark Kimball, our friend from the former Tucson citizen, is going to be the permanent replacement for CJ, or is that just temporary? He'll be the spokesperson.
Well, when I talked to him the other day, they hadn't had every detail nailed down, but, you know, I think he's going to take over most of the press relations duties that CJ was doing.
Let's talk a little. Go ahead, Sari.
Oh, no, I was just going to say that CJ is has big shoes to fill, whoever gets that that position. I just wish him the best of luck. It's got to be an incredible pressure cooker environment, and I just think he deserves a break, as they all do.
Yeah, no kidding. 1244, this is the Buckmaster Show. It's the Friday Reporters Roundtable, 790-2040. If you have a question or a comment that you would like to make, let's talk some local politics now with Dylan Smith of TucsonSentinel.com and Sarah Garrett Gasson of the Arizona Daily Star. Mayoral candidate on the Democratic side, Jonathan Rothschild, released his plan for his first 180 days in office, should he win. And as Star reporter Rhonda Bodfield observes, there are lots of meetings in those first 180 days.
I counted in the plan something like 11 or 12 points out of, it's pretty much 30% of the points were to meet with people and listen to what they have to say. And that Rothschild's been running for mayor for basically a year now. That's, he's been talking to a lot of people already. There were some specifics in there, but
it's like
quintessential
Tucson, though, meeting with people and talking.
Yeah, and actually I was at lunch the other day with a friend, and I happened to sit next to him when he was meeting with someone. I don't know if that was part of the plan or not, but he hasn't officially been elected, so probably not part of the plan. So yeah, it's the kind of thing where anyone, if you're around long enough, you know that you need to meet with people, and meeting with people just goes with the territory. Yeah. People in Tucson
networking.
Love to meet with people.
Oh yeah,
love to meet with people. Town halls.
We meet.
We do meet. We are big into the process. The doing part of things is where the real trouble can set in. So he hasn't been elected. He hasn't been, and I'm not making any sort of official pronouncements on his candidacy one way or the other on behalf of the Star or anyone else. But it's just the sort of thing that you really hope that a candidate has met with a lot of people by this time already and has some ideas going into the office of, I've met with people and here's what I've heard and this is what I would like to do, rather than, I think I'll have some meetings.
Well, to his credit, Rothschild did lay out a few specific points that he wants to try and accomplish right away, trying to speed businesses through development services, focusing on roads, focusing on some infrastructure issues. It wasn't all just, well, I'm going to hear what people have to say. There were a few points in there that he wants to hit, but they're all certainly not a controversial move.
And it's the kind of thing that, and maybe I've just been doing this for so long that I think I could probably, and you probably could, anyone probably, if watching politics for long enough, come up with sort of a generic, here's what I'm going to do as an elected official sort of plan.
Well, you're never going to really have somebody say, well, I'm not going to sit down and meet with people and listen to them. I'm utterly opposed to that.
I don't think that
not part of my platform
at all. In Tucson, Arizona.
I'm going to lock myself in a closet and just put on my earmuffs and not listen.
Okay, well, you can listen, both of you, by putting on your headset now, because we've got Gary ready to go on the Buckmaster Show live line. Go ahead, Gary. You're with Dylan and Sarah.
Yes, good day, everybody. Dylan and Sarah, I had actually a two-part question and a comment. This is for Dylan and Sarah. If I understood your comments correctly, you believe there should have been more compromise through this process, and then that is something that is failing. And one-part question, do you believe that's more so on one party versus the other? And then the second part is, if you sincerely believe there's been little, if any, compromise, in particular on the Republican or Tea Party side, where were you when the Democrats held the majority in the House and in the Senate and bludgeoned their colleagues across the aisle to get Obamacare passed in the middle of the night?
Okay, Gary, thank you very much. Let's hear from Dylan first and then Sarah.
Well, we were addressing the issue at hand at the moment, and really the fault of not listening to other people and not trying to craft a workable plan for government goes, that's equally applicable across the board.
Equal opportunity offenders?
Exactly.
Well, and I think part of just, watching the whole scenario unfold, it seemed that Speaker of the House John Boehner and President Obama would meet, and you would hear things trickle out. There seemed to be some sort of general agreement, and then that would go away. And that there were different wings of the party, the Republican Party, who were just saying, no, that's not going to cut it, and we're just not going to go for it. And that those no votes seem to carry an awful lot of weight. And so when you're trying to craft some sort of agreement where everyone is saying, okay, we need to come up with something that will please no one but be okay to everyone, and some segment or one segment, and the progressives on the left were not happy with this either, and they just refused to budge at all on specific points, you're not going to get very far. So that's not, in my book, that's not compromising. And that's not working together.
And it was a two-part question. There was something about Obamacare in there as well.
Well, I don't want to get too much into ancient history at this point. You know, certainly...
give me the bottom line.
Well, that's part of government.
Just in fairness to Gary,
yeah,
those two-part questions.
That's part of government, that sometimes, you know, if you're in control, if everyone voted for you and you won all the elections, you get to do what you want. That's how a democracy works. When we have broken down, divided government like we do at the moment, that's when things get very difficult and people actually have to try and work together.
And also, by the time that the vote came on the health reform, which is not technically called Obamacare, although it is a catchy nickname, there had been things with that had been worked out with the insurance companies and other things that had been that the people on the left wanted that had been cast aside. So by the time it got to that point, it had been somewhat compromised. It clearly wasn't something that Republicans wanted to vote for, but it wasn't something that everyone on the left was happy with by any stretch of the imagination.
The major tenets of what went into health care reform had all been proposed initially by Republicans, and the Democrats didn't like them.
Right. It all comes down to labels at some point sometimes.
Less than a minute, so I'll just quickly, we are kind of touching on health care. Arizona, a judge will not stop Arizona from cutting health care for the poor, and we're talking about, Sarah, about 100,000 Arizonans.
Yeah, this is bad news for an awful lot of folks in Arizona, and not just the people who lost their access health care or will be losing it, because this is going to affect people as they get sick. They go to the emergency room. They need care. This is going to affect people who need coverage when they go to the doctor's office. It's not going to keep people from getting sick. It's just going to make them get show up at the emergency room in urgent care and have unpaid bills and need to be seen when they're in a more urgent situation. So I think it's going to be appealed, and it's the kind of thing that isn't really good for the state.
Okay, Sarah Garrett-Gasson of the Arizona Daily Star, Dylan Smith, TucsonSentinel.com. Thank you both very much. Have a great weekend, both of you.
You too, sir.
Okay, thank you very much. We've got the Weekend Watch with Matt Russell. Matt's on an airplane, so I'll be filling in, telling you what's going on this weekend. That's next on the Buckmaster Show.
Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero More, Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza, topped with the finest, freshest quality ingredients. Enjoy casual yet upscale dining while sampling our extensive boutique wine list. Vero More in Tucson at North Swan and Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at veromorepizza.com. And now open in Oro Valley, Noble Hops, the Tucson area's first gastro pub.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is a very special place, offering a continuum of healthcare in a resort atmosphere. Splendido received two 2007 Best of 50 Plus Housing Awards from the National Association of Home Builders for overall best continuing care retirement community and interior design. Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at splendidoaz.net.
Since 1959, Assistance League of Tucson has helped thousands of disadvantaged men, women, and children in the Tucson area. Donated items, thrift shop proceeds, volunteer hours, and financial gifts help support our philanthropic programs like Operation School Bell. Your generosity continues to change lives in our community. For more information on how you, too, can make a difference, visit us at AssistanceLeagueTucson.org. Assistance League of Tucson, volunteers working together.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our citizens realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and create a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in and support of education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's Pima Community College students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a literate, prosperous, thriving Tucson and Pima County. During these extraordinarily tough times, our funding is in serious jeopardy. And as budgets get even tighter, we'll have to cut back services just when people need us the most. So please support us in our ongoing effort to build a better tomorrow. Help us provide the education and resources that the people of Pima County need today. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us on the web at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including five major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit Service. With 30 projects under construction, including Tanque Verde Road and the Catalina Highway to Houghton and the bus pullout at Ina and Oracle, please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Of course, that music signals, heralds the beginning of the weekend on the Buckmaster Show. It is now official. The weekend has begun. And normally when we hear that music, we think of Matt Russell, the culinary cruiser. Well, Matt is out cruising for a good meal. He soon will be anyway, but right now he's not available because he is on an airplane, and I don't know where he's traveling to, but there has to be a food connection somewhere. But it is weekend watch, so we do want to tell you about some really neat things going on this weekend. The Buckmaster Show pick of the week of something to do. I suggest heading to downtown Tucson for the second year, second Saturdays downtown. This Saturday will turn into a big birthday bash for its host city as Tucson gets ready to celebrate its 236th birthday. That will be later in August. This week's party promises to be the biggest yet. There's a terrific free concert, all sorts of music going on at the Fox Tucson Theater. This is a free concert sponsored by Pima County Supervisor Richard Elias. The show starts at 7 p.m. at the Fox, 17 West Congress. That's the Buckmaster pick of the week of what to do Saturday. But Matt Russell, he emailed me a couple of food picks. He's got the Tucson Originals Summer $20 11-cent special, you know, 2011. And his pick is Pastiche Modern Eatery, 3025 North Campbell Avenue. You can get some famous bourbon glazed salmon and a baby green salad. All of that for $20.11. Pretty good price for some really good eating. Friday and Saturday from 4 to 8 p.m. wine tasting at Catavinos Wine Shop and Tasting Room, 3063 North Alvernon Way. The theme this year is Big and Bold Wines. Taste a fleet of six premium wines served with artesian cheese for only $10. And we also want to do a big shout out to the Arizona Inn. I'm going to give the Arizona Inn, of course, they're one of our loyal sponsors here, but I'm going to give them a Buckmaster Show food pick of the week. Matt had his pick. I like the Arizona Inn. Always have, always will. And they have a great piano bar from 6 to 10 every night out at the Arizona Inn. So you might want to check it out. And where else can you get that wonderful hospitality that they have available at the Arizona Inn? So there are a couple of picks for you. Stuff going on this weekend. There's always a lot to do in Tucson as we get ready for winding up the monsoon season. That's going to do it for Weekend Watch. Friday Roundtable and Focus presented by Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley, a true continuing care retirement community. Find out more at SplendidoAZ.net. And also the Buckmaster Show brought to you in part by Flowers, Rieger & Associates Certified Public Accountants. Want to say goodbye to our Marketing Director, Deborah Howard. Deborah, we are going to miss you so much. You've been a great part of getting the Buckmaster Show off the ground and making it, I think, a very big success so far. Have a great weekend. I'm Bill Buckmaster.
KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. 930 KAPR Douglas. And 1240 KJAA Globe, the Voice Radio Network.